ان الحمد لله والصلاه والسلام على اشرف الانبياء وعلى اله واصحابه ومن والاه وبعد my dear brothers and sisters, we continue with our series on our created evils of marriage. Marriage, alhamdulillah, is an ibadah. There is no evil in marriage, but the evils are the evils that we create. As I mentioned yesterday, the ahadith, two ahadith, one narrated by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud in Tirmidhi, and another narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhum, both of them, may Allah be pleased with them, in Bukhari and Muslim, relating to marriage. Now, we seem to do something else. So, first let us see what we should be doing. Now, as far as what we should be doing is concerned, both the hadith relate to the men. So, first and foremost, if you are getting married, it's to determine and satisfy yourself that you are a man. And if you are not a man, then of course, marriage is not further on you. But if you are a man, then this is what Islamic marriage is all about, which is that the man sends a proposal, or his parents on his behalf send a proposal to the wali, to the guardian of the girl that he wants to marry. If that proposal is accepted, then he goes there to meet the girl and he takes some gifts and so on for whoever is there. He meets the girl face to face and talks to her. This is Islam. Islam is not marrying, without seeing. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam specifically instructed and said, meet the person, see the person, talk to the person. Even if a woman is in niqab, there are two situations where the woman is compelled to remove her niqab. One is when she is speaking to the person who she expects to marry, who has sent a marriage proposal. So even if she is not, because at that time he is not mahram to her, I mean he is not married to her, but she is supposed to remove her niqab because he must see who is marrying. He can't be marrying a pair of eyes behind a black piece of cloth, so he has to see who is marrying. That is one place where a woman is compelled to remove her niqab. And the other place, very interestingly, is where a woman is in court bearing witness. In the witness box, the woman is supposed to remove her niqab and the qazi is instructed to look at her face, even if, and this is the fatwa of Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, he said, even if the qazi is a young unmarried man, even if the woman is an extremely beautiful woman, and even if the qazi fears that looking at her face will somehow corrupt his heart, he is still compelled to look at her face, because the facial expressions of the witness are evidence in law. So the question of not removing your niqab because I am wearing a niqab, no. You wear a niqab, but there are places where the religion itself instructs you to remove that. So now the proposal he sends to the wali, if the proposal is accepted, then he goes either by himself or he goes with his parents or whoever is there, and he meets the girl face to face and he talks to her. Face to face they are supposed to talk, face to face they are supposed to ask whatever questions they need to ask. They need to satisfy themselves that yes, indeed this person I would like to marry. And if one meeting is not enough, they have to do that more than once. The only constraint is that they cannot go and meet by themselves in seclusion, but they can meet each other in a public place. There is no problem with that. Not only no problem, this is actually recommended. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam actually told them to do that. He said, do not marry without seeing. And see the firasat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because today you marry without seeing, tomorrow you got a lot of problems, because you never ask questions, you discover all kinds of things, you don't like them. So it is much better, satisfy yourself. Ask questions directly. There is no question of being shy and this and that. You have to ask, it is your life. You are marrying the person. Your mother is not marrying, your father is not marrying, you are marrying, so marry them. Once that is over, then the issue of mahar, which is discussed with the wali, with the guardian of the bride, which is discussed with the bride also. She has a right to say what her mahar is. She has the right to set her mahar. She is the person who is to do that. Because the mahar belongs to her without any encumbrances. The mahar does not belong to her father, does not belong to the husband, belongs to her directly. So she is supposed to say what her mahar should be. Once that is decided, then the date of the wedding is set and then the nikah must be done. Now, what is this nikah? The nikah is actually a legal agreement between the bride and her guardian and the bridegroom, the man who is marrying her. Right? So, in the nikah, the khutbah of nikah is sunnah, it is mustahab, it is not fard. If there is no delivering, if nobody delivers the khutbah of nikah, it does not matter, the marriage is legal and valid. What is required is one, as far as the Aimah are concerned, except for Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, who permitted a marriage even without a wali, but all the other Aimah, the wali is necessary and required. Without the wali, there is no marriage. So, who is the wali? The wali is the father. In the absence of the father, it is the grandfather. If there is no grandfather, it is the brother. Or it is whoever is responsible for the girl. This person is a wali. Imam Abu Hanifa said, rahmatullahi alayhi, that if there is no one available, then the girl can send a proposal on her own. The other Aima said, if there is no wali, then the wali is the head of the Muslim country. So, it is by definition, it becomes the Khalifa, or it becomes the king, and therefore the king's representative, which means the Qadi, can do the nikah, can be the wali for the girl if she is in a situation where she has no awliya at all. That situation usually happens when the girl is a convert, newly revert to Islam. That kind of situation might happen. So, who are the required people in the wedding? It is the bride and the groom. It is the wali of the bride. And it is two witnesses. That is all that is required as far as the marriage is concerned. The marriage can be conducted with these people. The wali, what is required to be done in the marriage is ijab al-qubul, which is that the wali will say, are you ready to marry my daughter or my ward for this mahar? And the person says, yes, I am ready to marry so-and-so, daughter of so-and-so for this mahar. That is it. That is the wedding is solemnized. The girl has to say yes. In the case where, so obviously this is between the girl and the wali, and the representative of the wakil of the boy, and as long as the girl has agreed, then this marriage is valid. If the girl has not agreed, the marriage is not valid. Even if the wali or whoever decides to marry the girl, it is not valid. And there is a very beautiful hadith which is the dalil for this. A lady came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and she said, Ya Rasulullah, my father married me to this person. And that person was her cousin or somebody, one relative. She said, my father has married, and some other women came with her. She said, my father has married me to this person and I do not want to marry that person. So, free me from this responsibility, from this marriage. So, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tried to reason with her, like any elder person, he tried to, you know, put things together and tried to sort of intervene between them. And he said, look, your father, he has your best interest at heart. Your father knows the person. He is not going to do something bad for you. If he decided something, it is in your interest. She said, no. She said, I do not want to marry this person. That's it. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, okay, what is it that you have against this person? Is there something wrong with this deen? Because from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's perspective, from all our perspective, number one thing is deen. So he said, is there anything wrong with this deen? Is there something, you know, she said, no, he is a religious man. He is nothing wrong with this deen. He's fine. She said, what else have you got? Have you got anything against him? She said, I have got nothing against him, but I will not marry him. Now, women are strange people, but this is that's why I talked to the woman first. So, now this lady said this. So, what is the Prophet ﷺ's reaction? Did he say, sorry, you have to obey your father? No. He said, your marriage is invalid. Go. I release you from the marriage. If you don't want to marry him, we will annul this marriage. Nothing else is required. All that he was ascertaining is, does the girl really, is she really sure that she wants to break this marriage? He said, I want to break the marriage. He said, I will annul this marriage. Then the girl says, Alhamdulillah, I don't want this marriage to be annulled. I am happy to be married to this man. I just wanted everyone and all these sisters of mine to know that the father does not have the right to forcibly marry his daughter to somebody who the daughter doesn't want to marry. This has been established. I've got no problem with this. As I told you, women are complicated. So, better to ask this. Better to ask this question. You might say, well, what was the need for all this drama? Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, we are grateful to the Sahaba and the Sahabiyat for clarifying matters for us. So, therefore, the matter is absolutely clear. So, what is required? Wali, the bride, the groom, two witnesses. What is required? The agreement of the bride, the agreement of the groom, and in the presence of the two witnesses, this agreement to be verbally communicated to each other. That's it. Now, what we have here is what we call the Qazi. The Qazi here is actually not a Qazi. The Qazi in Islam is the judge, is a legal head. The Qazis that we have in our weddings here are actually Qari'un Nikah. He is the one who reads the Nikah. He is not a Qazi. And then that's a jolly good thing because I have yet to see one of them ever even read the first ayat of Surah An-Nisa, which they normally recite. I have yet to see one who can read that with proper tajweed. Till today, I have never come across a so-called Qazi who even reads the ayat with proper tajweed. Then they make this dua, starting from Adam alayhi salam and Hawa alayhi salam, coming all the way down to Ali and Fatima radiallahu anhuma. And they in between, they say Yusuf alayhi salam and Zulaikha. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, first of all, the name of Zulaikha is not mentioned anywhere. And secondly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us this lady of Yusuf alayhi salam in a different light in the Quran. Now, he says the love between Yusuf alayhi salam and Zulaikha. Where do they find these du'as? And our people sit there and listen to this du'a and we say, Ameen, Inna lillahi wa inna ilahi raji'un. Please, this is all a joke that is happening in this city. Let us have a good laugh and go home. Right? At least don't participate in this. So, that is what happens. Now then, so where is the nikah? What is the place for the nikah? The place for the nikah is the masjid. And that is what Rasulullah ﷺ, that's how he did the wedding of his daughter. This is how all the people of knowledge do. Place for the nikah is the masjid. What must happen there? Nothing else. The nikah. You finish the nikah and then you go home. The bride goes to the home of the groom and then the groom gives a walima. This walima is something that is halal, jaiz, wajib, which should be given, and this is given by the husband. Now, so therefore, what is the expense that the father of the bride or the wali of the bride incurs in the marriage of a Muslim girl? Zero. He is a guest, she is a guest in the walima. There is absolutely no expense whatsoever. Not one paisa. The bride gets the mahar. The wali might also get a couple of gifts and so on and so forth. After all, the groom is not a kangal or a fakir, so he will inshallah bring something, inshallah, right? But what do you say to grooms? And maybe I should do that tomorrow. We'll see, because there is a lot more to say in that context. But we'll see, we'll see, inshallah. So the formal dinners and so on that we have on the day of the nikah, hosted by the parents of the bride, hosted by the awliya of the bride, this is not from Islam. Please understand. I don't say it is haram. I don't say and so on and so forth. But it is definitely not from Islam. Now, you might say, well, you know, Sayyid might say, I'm getting my daughter married. And after the nikah, if you come home, should I give you some food or not? Of course, you should give me some food. Why should you not give me some food? So, definitely, there is no problem with that. If I happen to come to your house after the wedding, you invite a few, relatives and so on. You are sitting at home. You eat. So, you don't tell them, well, please wait here. I will have my dinner and come. You will also invite them for dinner. But a formal dawat, a formal, gathering, dinner and so on and so forth on the day of the wedding is not from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is not from the way of Islam. And therefore, it is something which we must not do. As I said, I am not saying it is haram. I don't make fatawa. But definitely it is something which must not be done. We ask Allah to enable us to do that which pleases Him and to save us from that which does not please Him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin.